Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
The Lord's Prayer, structure of the Lord's Prayer is very simple. It's just an address and 6 requests, and it's over. An address and 6 requests. We looked at the address, the invocation last time. Now we can start looking at the request. This morning we'll look at request number 1. The first 3 requests of the 6 are all about God. Your name be hallowed. Your kingdom, your will. And then the last 3 requests are about our needs, our daily bread. Forgive our sins. Deliver us from evil. So the first half of the prayer is worship, and the second half focuses on our needs. And it's worth noticing that even though the first half, the first 3 requests are all worship, they're still in the form of requests, not declarations. You know, usually we think of worship and petition as 2 separate things. Now I'm worshiping God, now I'm asking God for things. But really, all of our worship is asking God for something. Because God is the only one who can cause the hallowing of his name and the coming of his kingdom and his will being done. This first line, hallowed be your name. That is a second person imperative, asking God to do it, asking God to see to it that his name is hallowed. And that's true of the others as well. Your kingdom come, your will be done. These are in the form of requests. Do it, Lord, you do it. See to it that your kingdom is brought about, and see to it that your will is done. See to it that people honor and hallow your name. So even when we worship God, we're really asking him for a gift, because only God can cause worship to happen and bring it about. And so we ask God to bring those things about, and we ask him to bring about in our hearts and in the hearts of others. A true worshiper is never satisfied with just his own solo voice praising God. I praise God because I want him to be praised. And if that's true, I really want him to be praised, then the more voices, the better. And if we really love God, we're not going to be satisfied until every voice is involved. And until that happens, until Revelation 5:13 comes and every created voice is praising, then things are not as they should be, and we're crying out, God, let it happen. God, let it happen. If my heart is the way Jesus says it ought to be, then as soon as I start crying out and asking for the deepest desires of my heart, the very first thing that's going to tend to pop out of my mouth is the desire for God's name to be hallowed. Name to be hallowed. Now, that word hallowed, it's not a common word. It just means to make holy or to consecrate. It's hagiazo. It comes from the word for holy. It means to set something apart as being sacred or being held in the highest possible honor. It's the opposite of taking God's name in vain or profaning God's name. Taking God's name in vain, there's a lot of ways to take God's name in vain. You can do that verbally, but there's other ways to do it. We usually think of profanity in terms of speech. You know, people go around saying, oh my God, or Jesus Christ as an epithet or something. That is profane, to be sure. But there's a lot of other ways to profane God's name. The question of whether you're profaning or hallowing God's name is really an issue of the heart. It's not just a matter of what you say. And the best test for whether you hallow God's name in your heart is always God's word, your responsiveness to his word. Those who hallow God's name, and I'm getting this from, I went through and found all the places in the Old Testament where I could find a mention of hallowing God's name or profaning God's name and not hallowing it. And it always has to do with responsiveness to God's word. Those who hallow God's name in the Old Testament are, they believe his word, they trust him to the point of obeying his commands, and they tremble at the thought of disobeying his commands. And that's what it means. If you study those passages, let me just give you a few examples. Numbers 20:12, God commands Moses to speak to the rock and so that it'll provide water. And Moses instead struck the rock with his staff. He was not trusting God. He was hedging his bets. He thought he would look dumb if he speaks to the rock and it doesn't work. And so he comes up with a way of doing it so that if it doesn't work, he won't look so dumb. And so God said, Moses, because you did not trust me enough to hallow me in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. You're not going to the promised land, Moses, because you did not trust me enough to hallow me. So you can see the connection between trust and hallowing. Another passage that speaks of hallowing God is Isaiah 8:12. It says, do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to hallow. He's the one you're to fear. He's the one you're to dread. So hallow there means to fear him more than you fear men or any other danger. That is, it's more dreadful to think about losing God's favor than it is to think about any other calamity. So what kind of effect does it have on a person when he hallows God's name? Well, if you hallow him, you will trust him. You'll trust what he said in his word to the point of obeying it, and you will fear him. You'll be terrified at the thought of disobeying him, and you will approach him only on the terms that he has prescribed and none other. Anything short of that profanes God's name. The name of God, it says, hallowed be your name. Why didn't he just say, hallowed be you? Hallowed be your name. What's the point of that? The name of God can refer to different things in Scripture depending on the context. Sometimes name means authority. Like if you cast out a demon in the name of Christ, well, that's based on his authority, you're casting it out. But most of the time, God's name refers to that which is knowable about God. That part of God that we that has been revealed, that we can know and actually commune with. The side that we can see. So when somebody says in Scripture, for example, praise your name, what they mean is, praise you. All that I know of you, I praise. All that you've revealed, every part that's been revealed about you, everything that can be known about you, God, is worthy of praise. I praise your name. And I think that's the way Jesus is using the word name in this context. The prayer is this. Father, cause people to look at what you've revealed about yourself and honor it, hallow it, hold it in the highest regard. Let all thoughts, all language, all attitudes and responses towards you be respectful and reverent and filled with the utmost honor and fear. Now, is it surprising to you at all that this is God's highest priority in prayer? Does this seem like it's that important to you? You know, there was an article in Time magazine that ran one time that about a truck driver who was arrested for drunk and disorderly conduct in Maryland. He was really angry and abusive to the officers, so much so that they really wanted to throw the book at him. But the maximum penalty in D.C. at the time was a $100 fine and 30 days in jail for that offense. And when the judge heard about how abusive this guy was and all his rantings and everything, he also thought that penalty was too mild. And so he dug through the books and he found this antiquated old law that had been forgotten but never repealed. And it was just an old statute against public blasphemy. And it carried another 30 days and $100 fine. And the reporter in this article was just absolutely incredulous. He wasn't one bit bothered by the behavior of this truck driver, but he was just shocked that in this day and age, somebody would be sentenced to 30 days for just publicly blaspheming the holy name of Almighty God. And it was unthinkable to him that that should be punished. To the world, that just seems as minor as it can be, as small as it can be. They have all kinds of restrictions on you know, FCC, you got languaged words that are allowed to be used in certain programming and this time of day or that time of day, and they got everything all regulated, but almost no regulation whatsoever on taking the Lord's name in vain. That can be done prime time, children's program. Let's put it in their cartoons. I mean, they don't care about it at all. We live in a culture that thinks absolutely nothing about blaspheming God. People think it's cute to hear their little three-year-old blaspheme God, use his name in vain. And I don't know how affected we all are by our culture we live in, but if we had the affections of God, this would be utmost in our priorities. Think for a minute about the Ten Commandments. Imagine this. Imagine, suppose there's a huge upheaval in this next election, and the new Congress came in and just said, you know what? The law code in the United States is ridiculous. It's just way too complex. We're just throwing the whole thing out. We're just going to junk the whole code. As of right now, no laws. There are no laws in the United States. We're going to start over from scratch. And so then they do that, and then they come to you, and they say, what we want you to do is write up a new law code for us from scratch, and this law code will be the foundation for all future laws. All future laws will be based on this foundation that you lay. And so we want you to make it comprehensive enough so that it'll cover all the various issues of society so that we'll have law and order and justice in our society. But don't make it too complex. Keep it simple. In fact, keep it to a maximum of just 10 laws. Just 10. I want you to, we want it to be comprehensive. Cover absolutely every issue that could come up in society. But keep it to no more than 10. That's the max. If you were assigned to do that, and you start working on writing your 10, would you waste one of your 10 on a rule saying you're not allowed to take the Lord's name in vain? You would if you had a heart after God's own heart, because that's what he did. For him, it not only made the top 10, it made the top 3. There are a lot of terrible things that happen in this world, horrible things, terrorism, child abuse, and wife abuse, and murder, and rape, and genocide, and mass starvation, human rights violations, a lot of horrible stuff. The worst one of all, though, the absolute worst thing that goes on in this world is the failure to revere and honor God's name. So that rises to the top of the Christian prayer as our most urgent request before God. When we cry out to God, our Father reigning in the highest heaven, cause your name to be hallowed. Put an end to all this blasphemy. Put an end to all this misuse of your name. That's more important than anything. That is more important than anything. It is the whole scheme of things. Some people ask sometimes, why did God ban Moses from going into the promised land for one little mistake? Nadab and Abihu, isn't that kind of extreme? I mean, you just fire from heaven, just burn them to one mistake? Why? Well, the answer is because God's name being honored is more important than Moses entering the promised land. It's more important than whether someone lives or dies. Do you believe that? If we could just see reality the way it really is, this would be our priority. If I could see reality, I would have the attitude of, it's not really important if Daryl Ferguson is alive at the end of 2010. It is important if people hallow or do not hallow God's name. What would our lives look like if the hallowing of God's name was really more important in our affections, even in our own existence?
Is God's name being hallowed in your life? The world considers sins against people to be far more serious sins than sins against God's name, because they believe humanity is more important than God. What about you? Which is more upsetting to you, abortion or people taking God's name in vain? People doing sex change operations on children? Or the society's failure to give God glory for the creation? Consider whether you have been affected by the world's demotion of God, lowering him beneath the human race in importance.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.